Blog Talk Radio.
To the Tap Three Times radio show. This is Dan Meadows coming to you live from the hills and mountains of Western North Carolina. Coming to you live from the Tap Three Times studio right on top of one of the mountains over here near Asheville, North Carolina. I want to welcome everyone to the show this evening. This is Dan Meadows. I am the host of the Tap Three Times radio show. I am also the CEO, consultant, and chief instructor for the Tap Three Times group of companies out here in Western North Carolina. You can visit us at tap3x.com. That's tap3times.com. Tonight's show is going to be about gun ownership, gun safety, and gun range rules. I am going to have a guest on tonight. His name is Jason Hyatt. He is from the state of Georgia. Actually, I'm not sure if he's from the state of Georgia, but that's where he's currently at. He is a military service member, U.S. Army. He is a veteran of the Army. He is a shooter and instructor for his own company. And he's also the owner and host of the Shooter's Rest radio show, which is also right here on Blog Talk Radio. Jason's just getting in from being out on the road all day today, so he's going to log in very shortly. While we're doing the intros and he's getting logged in and everything, I want to thank everyone again for being here, first and foremost. And we want you to think about all of our friends, our listeners that are in the area of Hurricane Harvey over in Texas and Louisiana, as well as Hurricane Irma that hit Florida, Georgia, and some of the other states. And left some damage in a number of those states as well. Lots of damage in Florida, all of our friends down there, both for Harvey and Hurricane Irma. Just want you to let it know that we are thinking about you. Also want to remember our heroes, our military service members, our law enforcement agents and officers that are out there, our first responders, fire departments, EMS workers, all of you. We're thinking about you each and every day, and our prayers with you always. Also want to thank all the volunteers that have come out from a number of places around the United States and elsewhere to help out with the hurricane victims, disaster victims, flood victims, all that's in these particular areas. We want to thank you for that. At this time, while Jason seems to be having a little bit of email problems trying to log in and everything, I just want to go ahead and go with a moment of silence for those who have fallen and paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. So a moment of silence, please.
Thank you.
Okay, and we thank you for that, everyone. We're going to talk about tonight's show. What I am going to do while he's still trying to get logged in, I'm going to read our show description, and then maybe by that time he'll be logged in and I can bring him on board. We're talking about gun ownership, gun safety, and gun range rules. There's no reason to be unsafe with a firearm at any time or at anywhere. When an accident or incident takes place with firearms, 99.99% of the time, it's not the fault of, it's not the gun's fault. Person who's holding that gun or who is in charge of that gun or who has that gun in their possession, who's generally to blame for any kind of accidents that may take place. So why is this? Some people call the gun-related incidents or even events as an accident. While you get others who are more trained in gun safety and in teaching others about gun safety, we'll call it what it truly is, and we call it negligence. So that being said, what about the gun ranges, both indoor and outdoor gun ranges, shooting ranges, at the, as many of them call? What about the gun shops that are out there, the gun dealers and everything that, you know, are in charge of guns, whether they bring them in, sell them, bring in used guns, you know, what's going on with all of that? Now I'm going to take a real quick check on my buddy and see what's going on with him, just to see where he's at. Email. And give me just one moment, everyone. Wonderful world of multi-social media stuff. Over to him. Okay. But, you know, so what about those gun ranges? You know, you've got clients, customers, you've got a lot of shooting-related activities that take place at these locations. Are there rules there at the gun ranges, or are there not any rules? And they just let you, you know, rent a lane, rent some guns, rent some ammo, and just go shoot it up. Is that enough? You know, our Top 3 Time show tonight is going to be talking about gun owners' responsibility for safe gun handling practices, both. Let's see, not letting me direct connect. Okay, let me see what I can do here. I'm going to go to a real quick pause for the cause here, and then I'll be right back to you in just a moment. Okay, we're coming back off break, trying to get, asking for a host pin. Okay, host pin. Here we go. See if this will help him out here and get him online on that. So, back at you. This is Dan Meadows back at you for the Top 3 Times radio show. Sometimes we do have technical difficulties logging in, getting through the mix. I've had problems, probably like many of you have, over the last few days of after the hurricanes blew through and the internet had a lot of difficulties. Even up through earlier this morning, was having some difficulties with that. So what we're here talking about today, and see if he can get come on at any time, is going to be about gun gun ownership. Now, with gun ownership, there's a lot of responsibilities that go on. Let me see if I can clue him in at this time. Here he goes.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, man?
I am a heck of a lot better now than I have been in the last 6 hours.
Okay, we're you and I are going to have to talk about that when we hop offline here versus airing dirty laundry on the air. I think you know what I'm talking about there, but hope everything worked out all right for you today.
I'll let you know next Friday how everything works out.
Okay, well, and that's our show, everyone. No, I'm kidding. Glad to have you. So, just to bring you up to speed, I'm going to introduce my dear friend. His name is Jason Hyatt. He's out of the state of Georgia. I don't think I ever remembered asking you, whether it was on your show or one of my other radio shows, where you originally reared from, but I'm going to let you bring that into the mix in just a second. Jason is a military service member, served with the United States Army. He is a shooter and instructor of many different types of firearms and weaponry. He is also the owner and host of the Shooter's Rest radio show, which, by the way, is also on Blog Talk Radio. Jason, welcome to the Tap Three Towns radio show, buddy. How are you, man?
I am fantabulous. Let's just go with that one for now. And thanks for having me on. It's been a long, long time since I've been on your show.
Well, that's true. I've had a couple of them with the Shooting Channel and the Put It On Target radio show. But you were a great guest then. You're a great guest now. I do appreciate you helping me out this evening with gun ownership, gun safety, and gun range rules, which, you know, I asked a little bit ago. I know you're down in Georgia now, and I know you were looking at moving elsewhere. But where did you grow up? Where are you from originally?
Well, I was born in Limestone, Maine, or Loring Air Force Base, Maine. I lived in Guam for a few years after that, and then I moved to Minot, North Dakota, where I stayed for 15 years.
My goodness. So you made a little bit of a trip around, eh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I learned how to shoot in North Dakota, so, you know, your deer aren't hiding 10 feet from you in the woods in North Dakota. They're 500 yards out, and you can't get any closer.
So, a little bit of long-range shooting and probably a crossbow and a slingshot won't get it for you. So, got to do a little bit longer shooting out that way. Sorry you had to dial in on your telephone there, but we'll have to work out some bugs or something. I know one of my other guests didn't have any problem with it, so I'm not sure why on your particular end. But you do your own radio show, and you know the difficulties of trying to log in from time to time. And I think all of us have been on your radio show and had to do it with telephones in hand as well. So try not too long, but as long as you want to be on it, I know you got a lot of things to do as well.
Oh, I'm good. I am good. We call this a relaxing time now.
Outstanding. Outstanding. So let's talk about gun ownership here just for a moment. What are your thoughts, Jason? I mean, being that you're all into guns and everything as much as I am, but what's your thoughts about gun ownership? I mean, should everyone have a gun? Should it be selected by a few? Is it a Second Amendment right? What's your thoughts about it?
Gun ownership is guaranteed by the Second Amendment. The only caveat to that statement that I have is the fact that it is restricted by further legislation for criminals, felons, that have lost all their rights. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. Now, if they go through the process and people say, okay, you're good to go, and they get their rights back, I'm good with this too. I don't think any state has the right to say, no, law-abiding citizens don't have the right to have firearms. I do not think that instance where legislation says you lose all your rights, period, if you're a felon, constitutes being against the Second Amendment either.
Okay, so let's talk about your state for a loan. You are in the great state of Georgia, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what, if any, restrictions other than maybe a convicted felon are there for people to own guns down in the state of Georgia?
You got the Lindberger Law. So basically, if you're convicted of misdemeanor, spousal or family abuse or child abuse, you can't own a firearm, and a felon can't own a firearm. Then you got your age restrictions, which are pretty much universal.
Gotcha. So how young can you be to buy a handgun in the state of Georgia?
21.
And how young can you be in the state of Georgia to buy a long gun, like a shotgun or rifle?
18
years of age. Okay. Now, let me ask you about at-risk people. At-risk people that may have some mental concerns about them. It could be young people. It could be elder people. It could be middle-aged people. Just a lot of people who might be at risk. Should they, in your opinion, be allowed to have gainful access to firearms?
This was a tough one. If they are adjudicated by a court, not just somebody saying you must go to a mental health facility, but literally a judge looks at all the evidence and says, hey, you're a schizophrenic and you don't know what's going on now, probably won't know what's going on tomorrow, then no, you shouldn't own a gun. Now, if it's mom looks at son, realizes she's got a problem with son, and then, or thinks she has a problem with her son, and she makes him go into a mental health facility without any prior court interference, then I don't think that child at 16 years old has been adjudicated by a judge. I don't think that simply a parent referring your kid to mental health because they can't deal with you makes it so you can't own a firearm.
I'm really glad you brought that up, and I'm totally surprised, unless I missed something in the mainstream media, fake news or lamestream media, some people would call it. I'm really surprised I didn't see a lot today. Of course, I don't really watch many of those stations, but a lot today from the left side, the left leaners, about, you know, jumping on the bandwagon of this event that took place out in Spokane, Washington, out at that Freeman High School. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, or, you know, with all the activities you've been involved in last few days, you probably didn't hear it much. But there was I believe he was 15 years of age. It was out at Freeman High School. There was a shooter named Caleb Sharp, who is now in detention, juvenile detention. He took a gun to school. He took actually two guns to school. One was a modern sporting rifle, or some on the left side would say would be a assault weapon or assault rifle. And he had a handgun as well, and he got it from his father's safe. He took these to school and shot a bully there, alleged bully, and then killed him and then injured three others. So I'm going to kind of bring you up to speed a little bit. He's approximately 15 years of age. He was known to frequent a lot of Call of Duty type games such as that on the internet and on his PlayStations or whatever. He would do a lot with that. He would act out shooting scenarios with one or even more of his friends at home. And then he decided that he had access. His father gave him the combinations to his safe. And he had access to the safe to get firearms out of there. Just last week, or within the last week to 10 days, he had wrote a suicide note. His parents were notified of this, or they knew of this. The school knew of this, that he had suicidal tendencies. And then still his family, his parents, didn't change a lock on the gun safe. And he ultimately took that gun, shot the one kid, shot him in the stomach. And as the kid went down, shot him in the head, in the face, and then went downstairs and shot three girls. So what are your thoughts about disturbed youth like that and access to, or gainful access to arms?
I will tell you right now, not a child of mine will ever have the combination to my safe or a key to my safe. Simply because you never know what a child is going to think at any given time. They go through so much at one time that it's hard. It's hard to understand what's going through their mind at any given time.
That's true.
So,
go ahead.
I wouldn't, for that those parents to allow their child access to a gun safe, even after finding out that he was having mental health issues to the point where he was drafting a suicide note, is irresponsible. And they should be held responsible for their kid's action because they are the ones that allowed that action to happen.
I think so as well. I was interviewed for it was a radio program that was on. It was shortly after Sandy Hook had taken place, and of course I didn't know exactly what the Q&A's were going to be, kind of like, you know, you today, you didn't know what all the questions and answers was going to be, and of course I'd never put anything in front of you. I couldn't think that you wouldn't be able to answer, but in that particular case, you know, they asked me what my thoughts were, and it is a parent's responsibility to ensure that a child does not get a hold of a gun and use it either to injure themselves, shoot and injure someone else, or kill someone else, take it to school for show and tell, or use it in the commission of a crime. And of course, in this particular case, these parents, in my opinion, have failed in that respect. So, you know, this young 15-year-old, has now, you know, changed his whole life because he wanted to act out something, being actors. Of course, you have a lot of actors out there, in public now, and, you know, they go by different, acronym initials or names of groups that, want to act out violence and stuff, towards, you know, law abiding Americans that are out there. So we're going to talk about gun safety as well, but we're going to take a real short break and just hold your mic while we take the short break. Be about a minute break, and we'll come back, and we'll be talking on the Tap Three Times Radio Show. We'll be talking about gun safety and, of course, gun range rules as well. And welcome back to the Tap Three Times Radio Show. This is Dan Meadows with my special guest, Jason Hyatt from the Shooter's Rest radio show. Jason, welcome back. Appreciate you taking just a moment to gather your thoughts and everything. We're talking about tonight gun ownership, gun safety, and gun range rules. Now, Jason, you've been an instructor in a number of different disciplines, a number of different venues, a number of different careers that you've had. Give me some of the gun safety rules that you would share with some of the people out here that may be unfamiliar with, you know, gun safety as a whole.
Rule number one, every gun is loaded even if you just check the chamber. Rule number two, never point a gun at anything you do not want to destroy. Yeah. Those are your two basics.
Absolutely. And those are, you know, good rules to live by, especially if you want your friends to live as well. You know, there's a lot of different ones out there. NRA has some, you know, always keep the gun pointed in the safe direction, kind of what you alluded to as well. Always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. Now, Jason, have you ever had the occasion that, you know, you're showing a gun safety class, something like that, somebody reaches down, picks up a handgun, or maybe you're on the gun range showing them how to shoot, and they pick up that gun and their finger goes right to the trigger. Has that ever happened to you?
Way too many times. Way too many. It's a puckering moment, especially when that gun is pointed your direction.
And for many of them, some are new shooters, and some are even veteran shooters. They think nothing of it. They absolutely think nothing of it. From what I have seen of many of them as well. Have you had that with both veteran? I don't mean veterans, but veteran shooters, as well as new shooters.
I've had it from everything from guys that are 80 years old down to 15-year-olds that have never touched a gun. It's a widespread epidemic, it seems.
Now, when you host your classes that you do down in the great state of Georgia, Florida, wherever you may travel, you probably have a safe area where their guns are unloaded. You have a live fire area where guns are loaded up and ready to go. Have you ever had any that guns that you've the people have told you that they were unloaded, you know, cleared, and come to find out that they are not?
I've had people try that, but I am kind of an anal retentive person when it comes to whether a gun is clear or not. And once it passes that ready line, the chambers are open anywhere behind it, so I can see if a gun is loaded or it is not. I can't take a chance anymore. It's one of those things. You get me once, shame on you. You get me twice, shame on me. And it's already happened once, and I'm not going to allow it to happen again.
No, absolutely. We had there was a case, and I like to always pull up a little bit of research hither and yonder. This was a story that was written back in August of 2016, and it was a concealed carry class that was going on. And the instructor was indicted after a student shoots and kills a shop owner. And what it took place on this was, is that it was a concealed carry class. Have to look and see where it happened at. Claremont County, somewhere. Anyway, it was a concealed carry class going on, and somehow live ammunition got introduced with, you know, blank ammo or snap caps, what a lot of people would call dummy rounds or something along that line. Anyway, live ammo got introduced to it, and the man who was a concealed carry holder, I mean an instructor, his daughter was assisting in class, so they loaded up this gun, and a student, unsuspecting student, I say unsuspecting, he probably should have known better, but, you know, if you're a brand new student and you don't know any better, maybe that person did not. But anyway, they loaded up a live round. The student pulled the trigger. As it pulled the trigger, it went through a wall, struck the owner of the gun shop in the neck. And, of course, they were doing clearance drills and like that, and it struck the gun shop owner in the neck, and it killed them. And the guy went to jail He was indicted. He went to jail, I think it's 5 years for voluntary manslaughter. So things like that happen all the time. I believe it was here in the state of North Carolina where there was an active shooter drill that was going on with some law enforcement agents. There was a librarian who was acting as a active shooter. They were supposed to be using special ammo that was allowed in that respect. And the ammo that was used turned, they thought, was dummy ammunition or a blank style ammunition. Turned out to be wad cutters. And the officer shot and killed one of the participants in class. So these things happen. These things happen both in the civilian and in the law enforcement world as well. You know of any stories that you could share with that along that line there, Jay?
Well, there's a gun shop that I will not name. It's primarily in Georgia. It's in two different locations. And both of their locations, one in Atlanta and one in Warner Robins.
That narrowed it down a bit.
Yeah, two different locations, two different shops, two different incidences within 2 weeks, okay? Where one of the salespeople reached into the cabinet and grabbed a gun to show a customer. Customer did not check the salesperson didn't check the chamber. The customer didn't check the chamber. And the gun went bang because it was still loaded from the time that the person that traded that gun in had traded it in. One was an off-duty deputy, and he shot a hole through the case into the floor. And at the other store, it was a young lady that pulled the trigger on the pistol, and it shot through the cabinet, through the other cabinet, and through the wall. Luckily, in neither cases was anybody injured.
I believe I watched a video on that one. I believe it was a female clerk or gun shop person behind the counter. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I did watch that one and didn't know that was the one you're referring to, but, you know, it's out there on the internet, kind of a social media type thing, and you get to see a lot about gun fails on there. I could do classes and countless radio shows just on gun fails alone. But yeah, that's two incidents. How about in the military? Did you see many incidents like that take place in
well,
training,
not
in the combat area, but in training?
Well, even coming out of combat, when you enter the FOB, you have these giant gun clearing barrels and gun clearing areas.
Yeah.
And one thing I can say is complacency kills people. Tiredness, lack of sleep kills people, especially if they don't follow their training beforehand. There's been numerous times where we've come in off mission, come into the FOB, go to the clearing barrels, and everybody knows with a semi-automatic gun or firearm, you drop your mag, then charge the pistol to extract the loaded cartridge. You check your chamber, you look down the mag well, make sure there's nothing in it. You close the chamber or slide forward, and you pull the trigger to ensure there's nothing in it. I have seen both NCOs, officers, and lower enlisted charge their gun, not drop a magazine, and wonder why they keep, every time they pull the trigger, a bullet comes out the end of it. Numerous times. So not just new people to the shooting world. It's trained professionals when you have areas of complacency or lack of sleep when training doesn't get to kick in because they didn't follow their training in the beginning.
That's true.
That gets people.
Oh, absolutely. So let me ask you something else here. I mean, you, if I remember correctly, you have hunted, you have been a hunter for some time. Maybe you're not hunting as much right now as you want to. And I believe I remember you last season doing a bit of hunting there. In fact, I believe I've seen some of the pictures of some of your quarry that that you did.
So, oh, yes.
I'm sure I'm going to get some PETA people calling into my radio station here. But, you know, okay, it is what it is. But why is it important to know your target and what is beyond your target? Why is that important? Whether it's you know, you're out in the woods hunting something, or you're having to do it for a defensive gun usage encounter, where you have to engage an attacker, an intruder, or somebody, and you better be on target, as I would say, put it on target appropriately, or something else could happen. Why is it important to know that target? What's beyond?
In the area I hunt in Georgia right now, it's kind of a congested area. You have land to the left, land behind, land to the right that other people hunt. And it is heavy, dense woods. But at the same time, I hunt with either a 308 or a 25-06. And there's other people in those woods. They don't always wear orange. 90% of us like to wear camouflage, or we're sitting in a ground blind, which doesn't stick out like a sore thumb, that you barely can see that they're there. Even sitting on top of a hill, you could barely tell there's a ground blind there. If you do not know what is around you while you're hunting, and you happen to shoot at a deer or a bobcat, even if you hit your target, a 308 does not stop inside the cavity of a deer, and neither does a 25-06. It goes through. So you may hit your target, but you've also hit whatever else you didn't think to think about behind it. And a lot of times, like when you're hunting in a congested area, that's going to be a person.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. Of course, I have hunted in the state of Georgia when I used to live there for years. I think there was a hunter every square 10 yards or something, if I remember correctly. But, yeah, they're all over the place. One of the biggest things, and I teach hunter education up here in the state of North Carolina, as I did in a number of other states. But the biggest season here for hunters to be injured is turkey season, and not for, you know, jumping out or falling out of stands or you know, negligent or accidental discharges, as some people would call it. But, you know, somebody sitting there with their camouflage on, they're calling in the turkeys, and somebody shoots blindly into a bush or something, thinking it is a turkey, when in fact it's another hunter. Lots of things like that happen as well. What about, you know, when you're at a gun range, a gun competition? I know you like to do that, as does Oscar on our other program, and April Strong, and a few others as well. But when you're at a gun range, or a competition type thing, why is it important for the range safety officer and the administrators who's running that shooting competition, why is it important for them to know what's going on downrange at all times?
Because they are ultimately responsible for what is going on that firing line. If something bad happens downrange from where they're at, they're responsible for it. So not only are they watching the shooter, they're watching to make sure that nobody's destroying a target that didn't need to be destroyed in the first place.
Absolutely. Now, what about, have you ever seen this? You've probably seen it on the internet itself, where they're having competition and there are still range staff downrange putting pasties on targets. And then the next shooter starts their shoot. Have you ever seen that?
I actually have not seen that. I've read a couple stories about it, but I have not seen that.
Yeah, there's been a number of competitions, and I haven't seen it live per se, but I have seen a number of different competitive shoots where they actually start, and the next competitor that's on deck begins their shoot, and then about partway through, they find out when they go around some barricade or something that, you know, there's a a range staff or range personnel that's there that was doing pasties who was absolutely frozen stiff. Personally, I would have hit the ground, but they're kind of frozen stiff and not moving and wondering what the heck's going on at that particular time. So, you know, those are the things to be concerned about. Why is it important, buddy, to make sure that the gun that you're using is safe and operational? Why is that important?
So it'll blow up on you. That's just the nitty gritty of it. I mean, there's numerous things that can go wrong, but for part and parcel, if you're using it for self-defense, you want it to go bang when you want it to go bang, and you don't want it to go boom instead. Because bang is good, boom is bad, and is definitely not good at all.
Have you ever seen some of those that went poof?
Oh, I've seen them a few times, quite a few times. Screaming squib, and hopefully they have electronic hearing protection on so they can hear that you're screaming at them that they just had a squib.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's been some that thought that. I know there was one that I watched. It was a guy shooting a shotgun, was doing well, taking down his targets, and then he had that, and then he decided to take the gun, ground it on the buttstock, on the butt plate rather. He looked down the barrel of the shotgun. Luckily, he pulled away just in time as it cooked off, and it blew a big hole in his ball cap, but didn't take his face off. So
that guy got lucky. That guy got really, really lucky. He must have a really tight choke because he's lucky that shotgun did not tear his face off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, there was another one here just recently, and, of course, I like gun ranges. This was a gun instructor. Knowing your gun, knowing the ammunition it's supposed to shoot. There was a guy here recently, an instructor in the state of North Carolina that I heard about, who was told that the gun, I believe, was a 5.56 caliber. And he loaded it somehow with 300 blackout. And
oh boy!
And he progressed to pull the trigger on the gun, and there was some shrapnel that went kind of just hither and yonder, and some that injured him as well. So, you know your gun, know the ammo. Think about the ammo that you get as well. You know, you get some bad ammo out there and it's not going to do you any good. There are some people who have, who do reloading that don't build it to specs. I'm not sure. Did you do reloading as well or can't remember? If you did or not.
I have started reloading. I wouldn't trust my ammo that I've reloaded lately or my first load of 1,009 mil. I wouldn't let anybody else shoot it. I've found quite a few that are not up to par, and I pull them off to the side. It's one of those, okay, I'm remeasuring every round before I load a magazine at this point.
Absolutely.
I had some issues with a seating die, and I'm not letting anybody else shoot that ammo.
Oh, for sure. I know our buddy Don Logan, God bless him, hope he's getting much better. He has a shop down in what's the name of his shop down in Florida, buddy?
That's Barefoot Knives and Gun down in Florida. He actually does a lot of custom loads too.
Yeah, he does a lot of reloading. I started reloading when I was 8 years of age, and I still have the original reloading equipment that my dad used even back then, and still very very usable, very operational as we speak. But you have to watch rounds. You have to watch what you're loading into the gun as well. And you need to check the gun, make sure it's absolutely operational and safe ever before you use it, or if you loan it out to somebody. And then if you do loan it out to somebody, you need to check it when you get it back because you don't know what kind of damage may have been done with that.
I have,
go ahead.
Dan, I have found the coolest tool on the planet for checking your barrels.
What is that?
And they're actually rather inexpensive now. They have a bunch of these tiny cameras, like borescope cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You can get them for as low as like $20 now, and down to like 5 millimeters around. They have LED lights in them. They hook up to your tablet. They hook up to your computer. They've got Wi-Fi ones. So if you ever have a question, if there's something in your barrel other than just using a rod, a cleaning rod to check it, or you think maybe there's something wrong with your barrel, you just take this little camera and you put it down your barrel and you watch your screen, and you can actually see everything going on in your barrel. It's the most amazing thing in the world. I actually got one for Don.
Do you recall the make, model, and where do you get those from?
I actually ordered them off the Geek app, which everything comes straight from China. They're cheap, they're inexpensive, but they work. Now you can actually find them on like Brownells and a bunch of the other gunsmithing or gun parts places.
Yeah.
I know Midwest Industry sells a couple of them, and they're rather inexpensive. But I found like the one I got for Don was like $15 off Geek, and it took a while to come. But it came from China, but so is everything else in life right now.
Absolutely. So, and it's good to know that. Good to share. Maybe we'll get the information and put it on the our Tap3X Facebook page. Maybe on the Shooter's Rest Facebook page or website as well, which we're going to talk about here in just a moment. Let me ask you a couple of things real quick. You have had the occasion to serve as a range safety officer or a range instructor at a number of different ranges. What are some of the concerns that you have at some of the ranges that are out there of things that you've seen?
The biggest one is when I was working at an indoor range. It seems like people go to an indoor range and they lose all sense of how they're supposed to conduct themselves on a range. For some reason, they think shooting inside is different than shooting outside. If you ever go to an indoor range, never load your gun and set it down on the table facing the stanchions and facing the walls. For some reason, they believe that since you can't physically go downrange, that is okay. I've seen it numerous times where they go to pick the gun up after setting it down facing the stanchion, which is the divider between the lanes,
mm-hmm.
and where they go to pick it up, put their booger hook on the bang switch at the same time, and shoot through the stanchion and blow holes in the walls. It's always been a mystery to me how that happens.
Oh, yeah. That's
you've seen
back
it?
To that finger on the trigger again.
It's like the rules of down, keep your weapon pointed up and down range does not apply on an indoor range to people. Well,
they do. They think that little partition between one lane to the next is going to stop around, which is absolutely not, especially bigger caliber guns, even smaller caliber guns. Some of the ply board or the particle board that they have in between the lanes, it's not going to stop that. And then you have to think, well, you got someone else in the lane next to you. There was a gun range I used to assist and work at and teach classes and help out with the gun shop and stuff up in New York. And they had bullet-resistant glass in between the two, and you still had people putting their fingers on the trigger and pulling the trigger. There's one place here in there's several places here in Western North Carolina that I go to with some of my clients and my students for concealed carry and other classes that you can see right on the shooter's bench, right on the bench, right in front of you. Where people have pulled the trigger and it goes through the shooting bench.
Yes. I mean, and another one with indoor ranges, I swear people sit there and go, I'm not having enough of a hard time hitting my target. I think I'm just going to shoot the cables now. There is nothing more painful for a range operator to have to shut down an entire range for half a day to restring cables.
There's one that I go to, and I won't mention the range, but I have a buddy. I'll call him George, but that's not his real name, who runs this range. Him and his other buddy, Paul, and then there's another guy, Ringo. So I'll just use the Beatles name, and nobody will know, what I'm talking about. But there's not a time, and I went there as late as a couple of days ago to a gun range, and, you know, there were several lanes down because people cannot aim a gun, knocking the cable down, hitting the louvers in the this over top of the range. I even went to one where it was a concealed carry instructor, this person and another person, which was their, I guess you would think, range safety officer, but there was no range safety going on whatsoever. And so these two people were standing there, and their student was supposed to be shooting at a target 15 feet away. And I guess it was, they were teaching them how to shoot with the first bounce. So you would shoot the floor, bounce it up, do a ricochet, and hit your target. Now, I did that with shotguns when I was in law enforcement, but I wasn't trying to teach somebody who was supposed to be teaching precision shooting how to shoot at a target 15 feet away that you need to shoot the ground before you hit the target. You ever seen stuff like that as well?
Oh, yes.
There is little things at every range that I've been to that has just driven me nuts. And a lot of them, I go to a lot of MWA ranges wildlife management, WMA ranges out here in Georgia.
Yeah.
They have made it so it is no longer free if you have a WMA license, because they now have to hire staff to man those ranges as range safety officers at all times. Because people would sit there and shoot up the shooting area. I don't get it.
No.
Another one that you see people doing is they have these beautiful berms, right side, left side, and your backstop all the way at the end. Why do people feel the need to try to shoot the dandelions off the top of the backstop berm instead of trying to shoot a target? What's behind that backstop.
Yeah, it makes you kind of wonder on that. There's a gun range here in near Charlotte, outdoor range, beautiful range. It's with Wildlife Resources Commission. They had to shut one of the ranges down because these people weren't understanding how to shoot 250 yards. They would hit short at about 100 yards. And that hard surface, they would hit it, the round would ricochet and bounce over the berm and go and hit other locations in behind it, which was of concern for, you know, your average citizen. So they had to shut it down and make some changes to that particular range. So very understandable on that. We're coming up with about less than 7 minutes left on the show. We're an hour-long show here, buddy. So what I would like to do, I mean, is there any final thoughts on that? Then I want to talk about what it is with the shooter's rest. Any final thoughts on gun safety, gun ownership you want to share with the people?
Never look down your barrel, ever. Do not do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to say on that one.
Dude, that's a good parting shot on that, I believe. A good parting shot. So, and I appreciate you sharing all that details and information on gun ownership, gun safety, and some gun range rules as well. We could talk, I'm sure, hours and hours about it. Tell me about the Shooter's Rest radio show. I think you've got some raffles going on there as well. How can they find you, and what else it is that you're trying to make your success in the shooting world?
Well, right now we have a raffle that is going to benefit the Florida Response Unit down in Florida. After Irma, they have actually been running a lot of medical-type aid missions right now, or recovery missions, helping people get to insulin, get to shelters, get generators, whatever is needed down there. They spend their own money to do this. It's actually ran by Don Logan at a Barefoot Knives and Gun. So they're spending their own money. I figured we can do a raffle and help them out. I'm raffling off. It's basically now a Bushmaster up in our lower that we put an Aero Precision lower parts kit in that's been smoothed and glassed, and it's a beautiful, worked trigger system in it. We have a full auto bolt in it now. We have a 1/8 twist, stainless steel, medium contour, fluted barrel on it. We have a RNJ keg, muzzle brake. This thing has no recoil. 5.56 doesn't recoil anyway, but this keeps, it can rapid fire all day long. You're going to stay on target. A Nordic Components free float handguard. Still have to change the buttstock. Don't know which one I'm going to do with that one yet. But this is this is my personal rifle that I put up for raffle. It's you go to theshootersrest.com under the radio tab and go down to the raffle. It's $15 for one ticket. It is I want $50 for five tickets and $75 for 10 tickets. So the more tickets you buy, the lower the price is. The raffle is going to happen on November 11th, Veterans Day, rain or shine, no matter how many tickets are sold. But this rifle's got to go. Because if I shoot it at this point, I'll want to keep it again. And I've got plenty of AR sitting in the safe at this point.
Plenty of them going on. So, and tell us about your show real quick. We've got about 3.5 minutes left to go.
All right, we have the Shooter's Rest Radio. Next week, we're trying to get a bunch of real-life, what I'm calling gunslingers on there. That's military, law enforcement, civilians that have had encounters with a shooting situation. We're going to talk about the training they've gone through and how that affected the fact that they've been in that situation. Muscle memory, as far as they train to the point of muscle memory, was it a one-time go, however they approach that situation. A lot of us on the show have all had those situations. So, but we're going to try to bring some other guys on that have been in them, everything from competition shooters to, you know, civilians that have been in a shooting encounter. We try to do the show every Tuesday night at 9:00, and it runs for an hour and a half. We have a lot of fun with it, as you know, but, We try to stay on point. We also do a little Tuesday night quarterbacking on a lot of the videos that we find on Facebook. So,
certainly on that. It's a great show. How long have you been doing the show? I think you're, I don't know.
We initially started the show in 2013. We took about a two-year hiatus when I was going through some other things in life, and we brought it back up almost a year ago now.
Very good, very good. I know I enjoy it. The rest of the Shooter's Rest gang, as I call it, have enjoyed each and every show as we've had. You know, we all are busy people, and sometimes we can make it, sometimes we can't. Sometimes the internet doesn't work out with us as well. But anyway, we're coming up on the end of the show. Jay, I want to appreciate you being here. I'll try to give you a call tomorrow, and let's talk a little bit. As well, I've got my 90-second cue. Next week's show is going to be on new shooters, women with guns. I'm actually going to have my wife on there. She's going to be talking about shooting and her new passion for it, and have some other shooters on there as well. So, Jason, host of the Shooter's Rest Radio, I do appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. Take care, and you be careful, okay?
All right, stay safe, Dan, and everybody else. Thanks a lot. Y'all have a good night.
We'll do it, and I appreciate everyone being here.